Hello. What's up, buddy?
How's it going?
Oh, not too bad. Got Jason Coots coming back on the show here. Welcome, everybody, to Charlie Foxtrot Radio. I'm your host, Ethan, and I got Jason back on. And, man, I tell you, we kind of touched on it before we started recording here. It's like, man, you just don't – the first couple of times you do it, you kind of just get – like the jitters. It's almost talking in front of a large crowd, but you literally
There's no crowd.
Exactly.
There's not live anyways.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I don't know, it's all uncut, you know? So it's like, I guess there's that mentality. I could cut it down, but I figure just raw audio footage is like the way to go with it. Because, I mean, it's less time consuming then, but then I don't have to chop anything out, and like everybody's getting like the instant feedback without anything chopped down out of it. But like, shit, the first time that you came on, even I was nervous.
Yeah,
I was like kind of nervous because like you were like the second or third in studio guest, and it's like, I don't know, it's kind of one of those things, but it just gets easier and easier, you know, as you go.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure, especially like for like you, man, I'm sure it probably is like, what the heck am I walking myself into here?
The first time, absolutely. I didn't know what to expect, man.
Definitely. So, man, what are your thoughts? Do you think we're going to have college football rolling in, you know, end of summer, going into fall?
I'm just
going
to say that we better have it.
But did you see out in California, I think it was today or yesterday, within the last couple of days, they have already, like, canceled fall semester or whatever.
That's not surprising.
Out in the West Coast, man.
That's not surprising.
And they're like,
I know that Notre Dame had said that they don't see having packed stadiums.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're going to work that. As long as I can still get tickets.
Yeah.
I
mean, exactly. Exactly.
The games can go on, but.
Exactly. And it's like, I mean, I know what they're doing with a lot of concerts and stuff like that is they're cutting everything by like 50% or a little over 50%.
Yeah, if they're even having them.
Yeah.
We were hoping to go to Kenny Chesney this year.
Oh,
he
really?
Just postponed all of his 2020 concerts. So,
man, it's just – it's awkward. It's just – we're just – it's – I mean, the right steps are being taken. I get it. Social distancing. It's got to happen. Got to keep people protected and stuff like that. But –
Is there a point that it gets too far?
You know? Exactly. And it's just like, it's a weird balancing act, man.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you get what people are trying to do and stuff like that. I feel like Indiana's been a pretty good state about what we've been doing for the most part. But it's like, when do we get back to normality again?
Right.
Is it going to be six months? Or
is there a normal?
You know? Exactly.
Is this the new normal?
Yeah.
That's what kind of sucks.
Exactly.
You know, I don't want this to be the new normal.
Oh, no.
Some of the stuff that's come out of it's been okay, but
yeah, you definitely
know, for the restaurants with their carry out options, you know, selling alcohol with your meal for a carry out, you know, that's great. I hope they keep that crap going.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be able to go into a bar and get food and take it home and take a drink with me.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. And it's like, I remember when I used to live down in Tennessee, they had no open container law.
Okay.
So like, as long as the driver wasn't drinking, everybody in the car could drink and stuff like that. But like you were saying, is what they would do is they would seal the container.
Yep.
Like you could buy out of stores and out of restaurants and take it with you, like a to go, like you were just saying. And they put some type of seal on there. Like I remember the one place, like they put a piece of tape over the straw.
Yeah.
And that was the seal, you know. But it was kind of it was interesting, you know, because it's like coming from Indiana. There's open container laws.
Yeah.
Down there's no open container law. So it was kind of like, it was weird. It was kind of awkward, you know, because it's like something I never experienced it until I was down there. But it was kind of funny because like, half the post was in Kentucky.
Okay.
Half the post was in Tennessee. Kentucky had open container laws. Tennessee didn't. So you had to be careful what you were doing on which side of post you were going in on. Because like the main post gate was on the Kentucky side. So you couldn't do that going into the main post. But you could do it on one of the side gates.
Huh.
So
that's interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. It was kind of crazy.
It's crazy.
But I don't know. Nashville, it's like going to Nashville. Like no open container laws. Like, you can, maybe it was just across Broadway and Second Ave, maybe, but you could just walk around
with your drink.
With your drink.
Yeah.
You know, but that, those places were like, those, like, even Broadway, man, they would shut that road down. Not completely, but, I mean, it'd be like shut down.
Traffic.
Definitely.
That's what I like about Vegas.
I've never
You just grab a couple brewskis and you just walk.
Oh, man. I see, that's one thing. Like, I've never been to Vegas. I really, really want to go sometime. Yeah. But that's like a trip without the kids.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have not taken our kids yet. I want to take them, only to experience the lights and, you know, I'd like to go to the Hoover Dam with them.
Oh, yeah, that'd be really cool.
And do stuff like that, but that's definitely it.
Yeah.
If you want to do Vegas the right way, you know, you're not having kids because, one, you're probably not going to remember how to get to where you're going.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to have to tote a kid around with that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I don't know, it's like Brooke, my wife, she went as a kid.
Yeah.
She went when she was young and they loved it. They loved it. Absolutely loved it. And, but you know, like the adults, like they took turns watching the kids and stuff like that while the other ones went and played and stuff like that. But like we, like when we go up to like Blue Chip or Fire Keepers, we generally will take our daughter along.
Okay.
We'll take our daughter along and then we'll just take turns. So like for me, I don't know what my deal is. I'm not good at staying up late.
Yeah.
I'm just not. It doesn't matter what I do.
You got to fix that before you go to Vegas.
I know.
That's when the fun starts.
Exactly. But I'm not good at staying. I'm not good. I could stay up till like 11 o'clock midnight.
Yeah.
But like past that, I get too tired and too cranky and grumpy, man.
Yeah.
And so like for me, it's like we, like when we go to like Fire Keepers or Blue Chip, it's like we'll go in shifts. All the men, all of us guys, we'll like go down together from like 5, 6 o'clock or whenever we show up till 10 o'clock, 10:30. And then I'll do like, you know, my gambling or whatever. And then I'll come up and then I'll take the kids or kid. And well, it was kids last time because we had the nieces and nephews. And then I'll take the kids and like, I'll go to the pool or go to the, you know, the little hot tub or whatever, or do stuff like that. And then do the, and like, I'll watch the kids and then Brooke and like all the girls will go out into the casino and stuff like that. And I don't know. It's kind of a cool rotation.
Yeah.
And the kids got to go and enjoy the hotel and the pool.
Absolutely.
Like that's the big thing.
Yeah. And that's one thing that's nice about Vegas is there's so much other stuff to do. It's, you know, it's not just gambling, you know. There's so many things to do. Every casino resort is like its own little city.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So for the kids to see that kind of stuff, they would love it.
Yeah, exactly. All the lights. That's the one thing. It's like,
oh, man,
lights
it's
are beautiful.
So, it's crazy how many lights there are there.
So, got to ask, what do you think about Notre Dame football this year?
Well,
if crossing our fingers, hoping we have it.
I'm hopeful. You never know. You try to base it off of last season.
Yeah.
And who you lose and who you gain. I'm hopeful for a strong team.
Yeah.
You know, and, everybody else hates Notre Dame, you know.
God's country, so we're, man. Everybody hates us.
We're always seem to be the underdog and. I don't know.
The end of last year, it's like, man, I don't want to be like super critical here, but like the end of last season, Ian Book looked like he was playing like a sophomore instead of a senior, man. It's like,
Yeah.
It's like one of those things where he just kind of – and he was so hopeful as like that junior, you know what I mean?
Oh,
because he was playing really good, and he was doing the whole split time thing and stuff like that. And, man, just looked so hopeful. And – I mean, we're losing some good seniors this year, of course, going into this next season.
Yeah.
But and you know, it's hard telling. It's like you don't see much. You don't see much about, you know, training camp and or, you know, preseason.
Well, everything's been
shut down. And
know?
It's like,
so it's so hard. It's so hard to judge
a
team right now.
It is. And that's like, I don't know, First Live Sports come on the other day, it was UFC. I watched about as much as that as I could.
Yeah.
And then, you know, had to change channels because we were playing cards and kids wanted the TV and whatever. But it was like, seeing live sports, but it was awkward.
Right.
It seemed awkward from a viewer standpoint, but it was really cool.
Well, you said that they were no fans in the stadium?
No fans. And, like, supposedly there was, like, 30 or 40 people within, like, the arena. Like, it was like an arena.
Okay.
Where it could seat, like, 15,000 people or something like that. And there was no fans.
Just empty.
It was, like, ring girls, judges, like, the medical staff.
Yeah.
Commentators and I guess some stragglers or something like that. Empty. And you could, but the thing that was kind of neat was like you could literally like hear the fighters breathing hard.
Yeah.
You could hear them like their feet. Like that was the one thing is like you could really hear their feet like hitting the mat or yeah. you could really hear like a punch
a
land.
Good punch.
Yeah. You could like really, really hear it. That's so crazy. It was like kind of neat on that aspect, but it was kind of weird because like generally when you're watching them, it's loud.
Yeah.
You know, the crowd
was
very much involved.
Oh, yeah, the crowd's really loud.
Yeah.
Went to one UFC fight.
Really?
Yep, and watched it live. They were in Indianapolis.
No kidding.
Yep.
That's
we were in the nosebleeds. It was at Bankers Life.
Was it like a first takes thing?
Nope.
No.
No, this was just a random, hey, let's get a group of people and go watch
go
this
watch
UFC
the fights,
fight.
Yeah.
They're going to be in Indy, you know.
But, yeah. Those
it was interesting. Different yeah. being there live
oh, yeah.
than being on, you know, watching on TV. But
I watched a bunch of they used to do amateur fights over in Kendallville.
Yeah,
and we used to go over there. I went over there a bunch of times, and I actually grew up with one of the guys that was fighting when I lived up north. I grew up with one of the guys that was fighting.
Okay,
and I watched him fight probably 3 or 4 times. He's an animal, but the reason why is because the dude was like probably close to D1, D2 level college wrestler.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a heck of a wrestler and he was really talented.
Yeah.
And you know, after he got out of high school, he was just working and then he was going and doing those fights or whatever.
Hmm.
And it was kind of interesting to just to see, you know, him making some type of career leap like that. And he was just
right.
smashing dudes because like a lot of those guys were like off the streets, no training in wrestling.
Yeah, weekend
just,
warriors. Yeah. Like, I'm going to go see if I can beat this guy up.
Yeah, exactly. But it was interesting because there was like some really good fights. And then there was some fights where it was like, oh man, like, dude, you're going to get beat by a wet paper sack, dude. You couldn't fight your way out of it. But
I like watching fights.
Yeah, especially when they're like controlled, like when they're good and controlled like that. Because like they, I mean, like it was very controlled, you know, situation and stuff. Like it's a lot of fun. It's just like, you know, like law enforcement with combatives and stuff like that. That's shit. Like it's got to be, that stuff's got to be fun. To me, it's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, like we do combatives and it's fun, but you got to keep it friendly. You got to keep it on the friendly level.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get,
when you do your training and stuff. There's usually a group of guys, and I usually get included in this, that, you know, you start getting to go a little too hard, and somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, that's the way it always
is. You got the brass pissed off at you. Yeah.
But, you know, it's like you get one guy that starts to take it too far, and then the guy that's
going, I
want to
one-up this, you know?
Exactly. You want to push it? Well, I'm going to push it back.
Yeah, that's right. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah, exactly. But it's the competitive nature.
It is.
You know, and it's safe. It's safe and it's controlled.
Bunch of type A personalities.
Yeah, exactly. You know? We talked about that yesterday. It's like that the alpha males and the beta males and like digging into that. And then all of a sudden we were talking about Lion King. Mufasa! And Scar. You know, it's like, oh, man.
A lot of good life lessons in Lion King.
Oh,
you know, that you bring that up. Dude.
I know, right?
Some good stuff right there.
I'm telling you. Have you seen the new Aladdin?
Nope.
Oh, my goodness.
Is it good?
Will Smith, probably my top three greatest actors of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Will Smith.
Will Smith's
the
man.
Oh, man. He crushes.
He's probably listening right now.
Oh, man. Hopefully he is, man. Hopefully he is. Yeah, big old name drop there. Don't know the guy whatsoever. Amazing actor. That was like one of my favorite of all times kid movies, though. Like
I'll
that was really good.
My kids would like it. I can use that as a cover to watch it.
Yeah.
New Aladdin. Let's watch it.
I'm telling you.
Lock to.
The new Disney Plus. That's where it's at.
Oh, yeah. Disney Plus is
you
great.
Got Verizon Unlimited.
Yep.
You get it for
get
free.
It for free, man.
Yeah. And like we've been rocking that Disney Plus out, and it's on there.
Okay.
And it's like I've been watching, like going kind of back through whenever I have time, watching like the old Marvels again, yeah. You know, the Avengers and stuff like that. I don't know, those the superhero movies, those are kind of cool. But
I agree.
So what about you? Are you like Marvel or like DC Comics, the Batman, Superman, or like Marvel?
I don't know. I never really got into that.
Yeah.
You know, I would say I'm probably more
out of your age group.
I'm probably more of a Batman kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
That See, Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Like being all shifty in the middle of the night,
exactly.
Dressing all black, driving some badass cars.
Exactly.
That's my style.
I know. But like the reason why I like Batman is the same reason why I like Iron Man, man. Is like they're normal people.
Yeah.
With a lot of money.
Right.
And technology.
Yeah.
But they're just normal people.
Yeah, they're not, you know, they get bit by some spider.
Yeah,
you know,
some crazy
drop
like,
out of the sky,
project.
You know. Wherever, you know.
Exactly. And it's I don't know, sometimes that stuff is just kind of fun to dig into a little bit.
Yeah.
Just to dig into it, but
heck yeah, dude.
Oh man. So we're finally getting nice weather out.
I know.
You ready for some Jeep weather?
I'm ready for some Jeep weather for sure. Gotta get the top switched. Get that hard top off of it.
I know.
Oh man.
You told me about
what Jeep stands for, just empty every pocket.
Just empty every pocket.
And you're coming to find that out, right?
Oh, man, already.
Yeah.
I think I've put about as much into my Jeep so far as I paid for.
Right?
And it's
yeah.
pretty close. And I'm still, you know, with as much as the wife's approval as I can get,
yeah.
I'm still doing it.
Well, hey, and that's a family ride, you know.
Yeah.
She gets to enjoy that, too.
Yeah.
Your daughter gets to enjoy it, you know.
We almost bought another Harley the other day.
Oh,
yeah.
You got to get back on that.
Man.
I'd love me some riding time.
I know. But that's a thing. Like, that's just such a lifestyle thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's you, the road, the open, just wind, and just, it's an awesome feeling, man.
I agree.
And, like, dude, you hear about a lot of people out there that like, I'd rather have a sports car than a bike.
Yeah.
Bikes are dangerous. And
I'd just really have both.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd rather have a nice pickup truck, a lifted Jeep, and a horse.
That's right.
You know? I don't really need a sports car. Sports cars can come later in life when I'm old.
Yeah, that's the stage I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm getting to that old man stage. You know, I got to get me a sports car.
Yeah.
You know, midlife crisis.
Exactly. Get
I just
got to
find the money for it. Just a money issue.
Yeah. Don't we all? Oh, yeah. Or that and a fishing boat, man.
See, I'm not a huge fisherman.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, just give me a bobber and a worm.
Yeah.
People talking all these crazy baits and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know any of that, bro. Like, I'll go fish if you want me to, but I just want a bobber and a worm.
Yeah.
And I just want to throw it out.
And let it sit.
Drink some beers, you know, and let it sit. Yeah. If I catch something, I catch something.
Exactly.
Right. If not, hey, I drink some beers and I got out of the house.
So, okay, check this out. So one of the things that I saw was released out of, like, California's new distancing standards and stuff like that. You're allowed to fish on the beach. But you're not allowed to have a chair.
Chair,
sitting.
Yeah. I saw that too.
What's that?
They don't want you comfortable? Or what? Comfortable causes corona? What are we doing here?
Yeah, what's going on?
Who's making
you know?
These rules?
That's the question. Who's making these rules?
Who is thinking of this stuff? Come on.
But that's like a crazy stipulation.
Right?
That's absurd.
If you
can't fish in
a
sit.
Cooler, can you sit on your cooler?
Can you make a sand
is that,
chair?
Is that a chair?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, can you just build a chair out of sand?
Right.
Or is that against...
Are you allowed to sit in the beach or no?
And supposedly, they're like... I don't know. I had heard that like they were shutting down a lot of like the beaches that were mostly like the Republican parts
really?
Of California. And like the Republicans were like straight up pretty much at some point in time, like they eventually started rioting.
Yeah.
And, or not rioting, well, protesting.
Protesting.
It's like, man, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
That's
kind of close to home. You're talking about protesting stuff with Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, they're like up on the Capitol lawn with rifles and.
Exactly.
Know.
It's just, It's weird. But, like, man, like the governor or whatever, she took it to a whole new level, though. Yeah. Because, like they you couldn't go into Walmart or any general store like that.
Yeah.
And buy
anything that was non-essential.
So, yeah. Like, you couldn't go in there and buy Monopoly for you and your family to play.
Right.
While you're sitting at home.
The closed sections closed off. Like, what if I need some new draws, you know?
Exactly.
Hey, man. Exactly. That's essential.
There's a lot of issues with holy freaking underwear.
Exactly.
Man. Holy skivvies
are
a
whole other episode.
Literally. Pun intended. That's a whole another episode.
That's right.
But that's so weird. Like, how could you restrict stuff like that? Like, you're literally at that point, it's like you're pushing people over the edge.
Yeah.
And then, like, extending it
too.
Yeah. It's awkward.
Yeah. It keeps getting extended in Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I don't know.
People need to go back to work. People have to, but that's another thing. It's like, people still got to be safe.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to knock her too much because she's just like, I feel like she's not doing this maliciously. I feel like, and maybe I'm too light of heart, maybe, or just maybe I'm right. I don't know. But like, I feel like most of these politicians and stuff like that, most, not all, but most do mean well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They do mean well because they just want to keep their, you know, their people safe. But
right.
Like, the guy that decides to sell all of his stocks off,
yeah,
because he knew the market was crashing and or whatever, and like sells all of his stocks off,
yeah.
Well, you know, that's now you're talking. That's messed up.
Yeah, they can take it too far.
Yeah,
with their intentions and their power.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And it's just it's I don't know. It's just awkward because, like, you know. Politicians is like they kind of got the leg up on everybody because they're gonna find out before everybody else on generally just about everything, because a lot of stuff, I mean, it's confidential or it's classified or it's this or it's that, and it's like what do you do
right,
you know? And it's like you can't but like no matter what in that situation, I mean, you're screwed,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have every decision for like that individual is a bad one.
Yep.
Because you pull out, well, now you're sitting where you're going to get investigated.
Yep.
You stay in, you're going to lose a lot of money.
Yeah.
But one of the things that like my dad always taught me is like invest in yourself.
Yep.
Don't invest too much of your time and your money into stock markets. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Right.
But he always like one thing that he always preached to me was invest in yourself.
Yeah.
So invest in things that you can work on to sell, you know, like cars. Like if you invest in those, no matter what, they're going to retain a certain amount of profit to
Absolutely.
Them. And if you can pay cash for them, you know, make them something and then turn around and sell them for more, you're investing in yourself.
Yep.
Or, you know, starting a business, you know, like making absolutely gorgeous wooden signs. You know, or making t-shirts and stuff. You're investing in yourself.
Oh,
you're not investing in somebody
else. Absolutely. You're putting your money into something that gains value for your family.
Yeah.
You know, it's, it could go bad too, but.
Oh, yeah.
But
you have equity.
You know,
you have something, some type of equity in it, you know, and that's something that's something you can like, literally you can hold on to. And it's like, used to talk to some guys knew some guys that were big into buying gold or putting their money into stocks of gold.
Yeah.
But it's like, and then like they would always try and talk us into it and stuff like that. And it's like, so you're telling me I give them $5,000and I have shares in gold, but I don't get to hold that gold.
Right.
So this sounds like a scheme to me, if
give
it's
me a,
anything.
Give me a bar of gold, you know?
Exactly. Give me a...
I
want to
put some gold in the safe. Like, give me a couple bars, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, take me back to the West, man.
That's right.
We were like, there's bars of gold. Okay, but since we, like, I don't know, kind of touched off it there a little bit, Dude, if there was a time that you could go back to, what time and era would it be? Because, like, well, you think about it, like, right now, we probably, like, right now is the best time.
Yeah.
It really is. Because, I mean, look where we are at medically.
Right.
With technology, with just everything.
Yeah.
I mean, we are at the peaks when people think that we're not.
Right.
But we are.
Man, that's a hard question. I would love to go back to the Wild West days.
I know. I feel like.
I don't know if I could ride a horse very well. You know, like if I just got thrown in from right now at this point, I might be struggling, you know?
Yeah.
I might struggle.
Maybe for a little while.
Yeah, I'll get used to it, you know?
It's you know, it's like riding a bike.
That's right.
But it's a 2,000-pound creature between your legs. But, yeah, and it's like, man, I've always thought, like.
I don't know. It'd either be that or the 50s.
Oh, or the 20s. Yeah, the 50s.
I mean, the 50s, you start getting into the,
was a good economy.
Good cars.
Good, awesome, you know, cars.
You starting to get them motorcycles going, and, you know.
A lot of good stuff going on.
Yeah. Leather jackets. Leather jackets. Slick hair. Dude.
The grease. I got the greaser going on.
I don't
on
have
right
any
now.
Hair. You know, I'll you might, be that guy.
You might have been.
Yeah, maybe.
You got it on your face.
Yeah, it's on my face.
You should join like a beard club.
I should.
That's a pretty good looking beard.
I'm trying to get it back to what it used to be.
Yeah.
I can't have it fully down past my nipples again because of my job, but yeah, I'm thankful that they're allowing it to be this much of a beard.
Exactly. So. Well, it's like me. I got the Joe Deere take on, man. I'm telling you. I get the patches of hula hair for facial hair. But I try. No, I don't know. I would, like, me personally, I would probably definitely be between like the Wild West, and it would probably go back to like the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
Like maybe the Roman Empire or like 6,000 BC Egypt.
Yeah.
Where they're like build the pyramids and stuff like that. Just like, you know, like we get to come back. All we're right, not staying.
Stay.
Right. We're coming back. But just to see like all the history behind like those like crazy amazing feats that people did.
They did it.
And how, man. Yeah. Was it the aliens?
Right? Yeah, I don't know.
Did you see the UFO sightings? What was it? Like DOD or something like that, Department of Defense or somebody put them out from a naval fighter pilot.
Something on that.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. It's like I listened to, the Bob Lazar documentary, which is just like got out on Netflix not too long ago. That one was really interesting with that dude and just everything that was going into that. It's like a guy that worked in Area 51.
Yeah.
And worked, man, I can't remember the other place, but he worked two different places. But one of them was Area 51, and supposedly he was working on, like, UFOs and, like, these arc reactor type of things.
Yeah.
And, like, they pretty much, like, wiped this dude's slate clean. Like, wiped all of his college degrees out. Like, he never went to, like, they had no records of him going to college or anything like that. And, like, they said, okay, he didn't work at these two places, the one being Area 51 and the other one being, man, I can't remember it.
So now everybody just thinks he's a kook.
But everybody thinks he's a kook. But then they went back and they found he was on phone registries and like work registries that they dug up for both places.
Huh.
So like so he was. They said that he was never an employee in either place.
Yeah.
But like they had him under like work directories and phone directories and stuff like that. So he was there.
Hmm.
It's a super interesting documentary on Netflix. It's the Bob Lazar Area 51 documentary. But all right, we're getting ready to jump into our sponsor segment here. So for all the listeners out there, check us out. Charlie Foxtrot Radio on Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Anchor, all the major podcasting streaming platforms. Big shout out to Anchor for being our sponsor. Big shout out to America Made Co. for being our other sponsor. And we'll be right back after this sponsor segment. All right, we're back here. kind of talking about it a little bit off air, and you talked about golfing.
Yeah, absolutely. I love golf.
Oh, man. I love golf. I love golf, too. I absolutely love playing it as well. But I was telling you, I look like Bagger Vance out there with wooden clubs pretty much, man. I'm telling you. And, like, I got a Happy Gilmore putter almost. That's the way I look like putting, man. I'm telling you.
Hockey stick in there.
I know. I'm telling you. No, it's like I love golf, but – like, when I golf, I have to be drinking and smoking. Like, I like to smoke cigars and stuff out there. And, like, I have to do those two things if I'm going to be somewhat successful at golf.
Yeah.
Because, like, I feel like – here's the other thing. I can't wear pants.
Yeah.
I have to wear shorts when I golf.
I can golf in pants, you know, like my – spend way too much money on like Under Armour golf pants and shorts and all the crap. It doesn't really help me, but at least I look good if I'm going to
look
suck,
the part. Yeah, you know? Exactly. And oh man, it's like last year I had a membership or whatever you want to call them to one of the local courses.
Yeah.
And I think I golfed myself out of it that year.
Really?
So, or last year. Cause like we golfed every Friday and sometimes every Saturday, every like Saturday morning, or, you know, every now and again we played 2 days.
Yeah.
Every now and again, but mostly we played every Friday, every Friday afternoon. And I played with Matt, Brooke's dad, sometimes with Brooke's brother, and then Brooke's uncle, Eric, and Walt. And we would go play, and I swear, for the first 6 weeks of golfing, I did great.
Yeah.
I did great. And then the last, like, and then, I'm trying to remember. So we played every week probably for 3 months running.
Okay.
Just about every Friday. And so over that whole entire time, man, that last month that we played – it was very far downhill.
Yeah.
It was very far downhill.
You're describing right now my golf outing situations. I start off strong. You know, the first nine it's good, you know? And then the last nine, I just can't keep it together. Yeah. It's usually probably too many beers, you know?
No, no such thing. No such thing, Jason. Come on, man.
Well, okay, not too many beers. You know, just...
But golf is a weird sport. It's a weird talent. It's talent. Like, there is to be like very good at it. I feel, man, it's either a lot of practice or it takes a certain individual. Cause like my wife, she was a college golfer.
Oh yeah.
She is very good at golf.
Yeah.
She is very good at golf. Very little patience.
Yeah.
Very little patience. I'm trying to get her to give me some lessons. Not happening. Not happening in this house because gets so mad. She gets so mad because if I don't do exactly what she says, it's like game over.
Yeah.
It's game over for me because she's yelling and hollering at me. And then, like, I go play with her brother, Grant. I go play with Grant. And that kid... he drives that ball. I can get some pretty impressive drives going myself, but consistently, not really. Like I have a consistent drive, but like the power behind it is not always consistent. Like there's sometimes where I'm taking like a less than 200 yard poke. And then there's sometimes where it's like, I can drive a par four.
Yeah.
And it's, but I can't find my consistency. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Cause like, if I try too hard, I'm slicing.
Right.
I'm slicing. And if I try too little, then, you know, you're not going to get a tremendous distance. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I was really disappointed. You know, Lieutenant Colonel Grossman, got to see him, got to listen to him speak at one of our conferences.
You had him on. I talked about his book last night.
Yeah.
One of the books that he wrote. Dave Grossman. I'm almost done with his book on killing.
And I was, dude, it was one of the best presenters I've ever seen. You know, I was just really disappointed. He said that there's the golfers. He doesn't have any use for golfers. And he doesn't have any use for golf courses because those could be really long shooting ranges. I was right there, man. It broke my heart. You know, I thought, man, this dude right here, this is my guy. And then he throws that bomb out there, you know. Dang it, man. You know, I thought maybe we would go golfing together after the conference. But no, he ain't going to look at a golf course. What the hell, man?
Oh, man. You know what? He probably just had a really terrible, shitty day out on a golf course one time and was just like, you know what? You know what? This is not for me. And I'm just going to, like, put this down any chance I get.
Because it was, you know, who out here golfs? And, you know, a bunch of cops were all like, yeah, we golf. You know, he's like, worthless. That sport is worthless. Golf courses should be closed down. We're all like, what? And they says they should be turned into shooting ranges.
Oh, man. Just okay. Broke every dude's heart. Man.
Listen, I can understand that. I like to do me some shooting. Oh, yeah. You know?
Exactly.
But I'm not going to close a golf course for it. You know? We'll find someplace else.
Yeah, exactly. I got plenty of room right back here. I got a shooting berm back behind the house, man.
Dude, that's where it is.
I'm just saying.
Don't need a golf course.
No.
Leave the golf courses alone.
Man, leave them alone, man. Man, golf is too much fun for, like, the drinking.
Yeah.
And just going out and just swinging a club. No matter how good or how bad you are, generally, you're going to have a good time on a golf course. It's like bowling.
There's a lot of shenanigans that happen on golf courses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's the best time. You know? I just love golf.
I'm telling you.
I'm actually the middle school golf coach.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Where do you guys play?
Cobblestone?
Yeah, oh, no kidding. That's awesome. Yeah. I guess East Nobles would be Noble Hawk, more likely.
Yep. No. Their middle school is
but you guys
got the Elks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, you guys got, like, the best course.
We do.
Out of all of them.
Absolutely.
Like,
I was stoked when I found out that was our home course.
Do you get to go golf for free like the kids or not?
I can take my stuff and golf with them, you know.
Yeah.
But it gets kind of hard because you're trying to wrangle up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Six, seven kids.
And I remember, man, when I was in middle school, you're talking like 7th, 8th grade?
Yep. Well, ours is 6th, 7th, 8th grade.
Okay, yeah. So when I was up north going to school, that was our middle school was 7th and 8th grade only. With that, we had a course up in Sturgis.
Okay.
Or not quite Sturgis. It was up by Sturgis, Michigan. And just back across the state line in Indiana. I don't even remember the name of the course now. But anyway, besides the point, they would give us, like, since that was our home course, we'd go play there for free anytime.
Yeah, that's how our kids are for Cobblestone. Yeah. If they're on the golf team.
Those kids do not realize how good they got it, because that's, like, the most expensive course around.
And it's by far my favorite course.
It is the nicest.
Absolutely.
Around here. Yeah, we play. We get a membership over there at Wawa C because it's
nine holes. I love that
easy course and it makes you look good.
Yeah, I love that course.
That's a good one. It's a good one. I wish they still had the back nine or whatever. I still wish they had that. But
I remember playing there when it was 18.
Really?
Yeah.
And then that got bought out by the
Eli Lilly.
Lilly, yeah. I was gonna say that's kind of a neat ordeal there too.
Yeah.
And like everything they're doing is the only thing that's bad about it is they got it gated off and you lose a golf ball on that side.
Yeah.
You ain't getting it back.
Right.
I've lost many golf balls on that side.
I can't tell you how many golf balls I've lost in my life, but
probably more than I've ever bought.
Probably.
Or found. That's the one thing that I like about Wawa C though, is like, speaking of Wawa C, severely underrated place right there. There's a lot of people that have houses on that, like big timers that have houses out there on Wawa C.
When I hit the lottery, dude, I'm going to have me a house. We'll do your show for my mansion on the lake.
Oh, yeah, dude. Sitting on the porch, man. The screened in, heated by solar panels or whatever.
Yeah,
sitting
whatever
in
you
nothing
want.
But massage chairs.
That's right. Whatever you want, dude. We'll have somebody bringing us our beers, you know, a beer assistant.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when you know you made it right there.
And when you have an assistant, just to grab beers.
Just to grab you beers.
Or just a dog that's just trained dog to literally do it. There's videos of that.
I've seen it. I'm tempted. I'm going to buy a dog just for that purpose. Its sole purpose in life is going to be Bring me beers. The bad thing is, how do you get it to pour from a keg? You
know, that's the hard part.
That takes a lot of
trouble. Dogs don't have thumbs.
Yeah. They're going to have to get a little rope on it and then push it back.
Snout. That one's spring-loaded. You don't have to push that one back.
Oh, man.
That one's got a spring to it, so, like, you can release that, and it shuts itself off.
Okay. Maybe that would work for a dog.
That one might work, but I'd be afraid, you know, you yanking that thing too hard.
You got a rope right now? We can get your dog out of here. Try it.
My dog, Zeke, he's loved the dog to death, but he can be dumber in a box of rocks, man.
Four beers isn't that hard, you know. We could get him trained before the end of the show, I think. Yeah.
Ah, good possibility. Definitely. Oh, man. Like, training dogs. That right there. I had a buddy that literally trained his dog how to shut a bedroom door, and they had, like, not switch lights, but, like, the toggle lights.
Yeah.
And he taught his dog how to hit the lights. So he never had to get out of bed at night. He closed the bedroom door, and he did, like you said, tied a rope to the handle.
Yeah.
The dog, and he did it with treats and post-it notes.
Really?
Is what he told me. He did it with treats and post-it notes. So, like, I don't remember. He put the treats on a post-it note or something like that to begin with. So the dog knew that, like with the post-it note meant there was a treat.
Right.
Of some kind coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just moved it. Like, he got him used to doing that, going to the post-it note for a treat.
Yeah.
And then he took the treat away, and then he'd make him go to the post-it note. The dog go to the post-it note, put his nose on it, come back, get a treat. Then he moved it to the light switch. And the dog would go put his nose on it, shut the light switch off, come back, get a treat.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought it was super interesting. He said it took him a couple of weeks, but he got it done. It's kind of – but, like, dogs, they're a lot smarter than what – some people give them credit for.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And it seems like, what, a couple hundred commands that some dogs can do. And it's like, did you ever do canine?
Nope.
You never did canine?
Nope. I tried helping as much as I could with the program. One of my best friends was a canine handler.
Really?
So
yeah.
Anytime there was training or something, they needed extra people, I would jump in. And then when he was gone for vacation and stuff, I'd try to take care of his dog for him.
Oh, yeah, really? Oh, so that's awesome.
The dog was real good with me, and it was a good time. I had aspirations to be a canine handler, but
yeah, man, that's a.
I mean, right now, I am a canine.
Oh, handler. That's right.
You know,
that's right.
I'm a police officer that has a dog that takes to work, but she's a therapy dog. You know, so. A little bit different. She's not sniffing for dope or biting people. She's just cuddling with kids.
It's like, is it a golden doodle?
Golden doodle.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's perfect. That's hilarious.
I tell some of my cop buddies, you know, that I'm a canine handler. Really? She's a therapy dog, but you know.
You're still handling the canine.
That's right. She still rides in my squad car.
Do you get to take her home?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I wasn't sure about that. Because I know, like, with regular canine handlers and stuff like that, they do get to take their dogs home.
They live with them.
And I just wasn't sure, like, it being a therapy dog, that was, like, any different. But nope. I guess it wouldn't make sense for it to be any different.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
This is, like, I don't know. It seems like a little – when I picture it in my head, don't take offense – when I picture it in my head, I just feel like very Andy Griffith-like.
Yeah.
Just like, not much of an attack dog, but like there. Yeah.
No, she's not any kind of an attack dog, that's for sure.
Well, they had her trained. They had to have had, is it her, him?
Her.
Her?
Yeah.
Did they have her like trained as like a legit therapy dog?
We took her to Tennessee.
Okay.
And lady did our training. She's got 3 certifications for... canine good citizenship.
Oh, really?
And then we're waiting on the therapy certification. She just turned a year old, and you have to be a year old to do the certification. And then they stopped everything because of the coronavirus stuff. Okay. So we're just waiting for everything to open back up, and then she'll get her therapy dog certification.
Yeah. That's really cool, though. That's really cool, especially, like, I mean – like, for you and your family, though, too, it's like, That's really cool. I'm sure the kids probably love that.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, so
sometimes. Excuse me. My youngest daughter, the dog just adores her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. More than anybody in the family.
Just so. Just annoyed, or like, is she annoyed or what?
No, she adores her. Like,
oh, yeah.
She, like, if we're all in this room and the dog came in, she'd go right to her.
Really?
Yeah. And she gets excited when she wakes up in the morning, you know. She doesn't care about anybody else at the house, you know. So, yeah. No, it's my – she does get annoyed with her. My youngest daughter gets annoyed.
Oh, really?
Because she's always wanting to be on her and be with her and stuff. Yeah.
Well, that's like – I had my dog Zeke a few years – about a year before me and Brooke, like, moved in together and, like, got – and, you know, eventually got married or whatever. Man, and like me and my dog Zeke, man, we were close. We were tight.
Yeah.
We were buddies. We were homies, man. It's like we were. And then Brooke came into the picture, and it was the dog wants nothing to do with me. Just immediately fell in love with my wife. Like, just fell in love with Brooke. And like,
don't the dogs know they're supposed to be a man's best friend?
I know, right? But he sleeps on her side of the bed. He always goes to her. But you know what? I don't mind it. And, like, I mean, his bark's way bigger than his bite. He don't bite.
Yeah.
And it's like, he sounds mean, though. That's the one thing that's nice is, like, he sounds mean. But, like, trying to get that dog, like, if we got, like, broke into in the middle of the night, that dog ain't getting up for nothing, man. I swear to God. But if it's, like, somebody showing up when he's not tired.
Yeah. Okay. He'll let you know about it.
He'll let you know. Exactly. He'll let you know. But, man, if it's in the nighttime when he's tired and wants to be sleeping.
You're on your own, dude.
You are on your
own. Sorry, man. I'm off, dude.
I'm telling you.
I've been up all day long on guard. And now, hey, it's your turn, brother.
I'm telling you.
I got sleep to get.
Exactly. That dog. Oh, man. Oh, shoot. I'm going to tell you a funny story. No, so. God, it was like. This last winter. So you saw like, it's like a bay window.
Yeah.
Like, I guess you'd call that like a bay window in our den. I put our bird feeders right outside that window.
Okay.
You know, and like when you're looking at it from the inside of the house, it's in like the bottom left-hand corner. Probably what would look to be about shoulder height for me. So yeah, about 6 foot in the air. I made our coffee pot up. We got a new coffee pot. Right. And I got it set up or whatever. It's got a coffee pot and a Keurig in it.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, or it's not a Keurig though. It's a.
Just a, like a one shot.
But yeah, it's got the one shot side and then a coffee pot side. It's really awesome. Got it from Menards. Shout out to Menards for that because it was like on sale. It was like $30.
Nice.
Regular, like $120 because you got like a mail in rebate.
Yeah.
And so got that. And I was like messing around trying to figure out all the things and see where all the little stuffs were at and like. Okay, and I was like messing around with like the single shot side, and I like set it on the counter, and I didn't know that like it was sitting at an angle. So we went, you know, we're in bed asleep about 1 o'clock in the morning, and somehow something, you know, who knows, the house shifted or something like that. It fell on the ground. Well, there's like a tin plate to it.
Okay.
And it hit the ground, and the tin plate sounded exactly like glass breaking. When you come up out of a dead sleep, I'm a very light sleeper. And like when I come up out of a dead sleep, this sounded like so much like glass breaking. It was like insane.
Oh my gosh.
For me, I'm like, oh man, I hit the safe right there because I keep the safe right there in the sock drawer. Hit that biometric safe real quick, grab the pistol out, and like, I'm like, it's go time, man. It's go time. Because, like, I mean, like, we're kind of bad parents right now because we go what, four wide in the king bed.
Oh, geez.
It's me, the little one, my wife, the dog. And it's like, but I'm like, okay, well, everybody's in one room. So I'm
right.
Like, you know, it's like, I'm like, it's go time, man. And so I go, I like it, you know, I get out and it sounded like glass breaking like so much where I was like, this is getting legit here because that was – I have not heard that sound in the middle of the night yet. And I get up and, like, I'm going around locked and loaded, man, making my way through the house and going room to room. I make it to that den, and I look out, and I'm like, there's the window.
I turn and I see that window and I can see, and like, it was a beautiful night out. It was cold still. It was winter time. It was cold and there was a little bit of snow on the ground, but nothing crazy, you know, just like a dusting. And there's just a light breeze. It was absolutely beautiful night though. Light breeze. And that the bird feeder was like kind of swaying there in the window.
Yeah.
I legit about put two rounds into that bird feeder. And I'm telling you, I would have, like, I would never, you know, like, it took me right back to being overseas.
Yeah.
It did, like, to a crazy extent, because I was, like, legit, like, pulling, like, ready to be, like, firing rounds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I turned that corner and I saw that, and I, it took me right back to overseas to, like, letting that trigger fly and letting rounds go. Because I was there, man. I was there. Oh, I almost put two rounds into a bird feeder through a bay window. And then I was just thinking, I like, after I realized it was a bird feeder, like a split second later, I was like, just think about the sheriff's department coming out here reacting to the my dumb.
It probably would have been
self.
Me.
I was just like, dude.
I'm sure I was working third shift then.
Oh, I was like, dude, just think about what I'm going to have to tell these fine folks that are reacting to this call of freaking of shots fired out here on the middle of the country. And then me having to tell this guy on duty.
Bird feeder, man. You should have seen that.
And just how dumb I am. And like, just like, I can't imagine the, like, if that would have happened. Like, have you ever been on like a crazy call like that or something similar?
A lot of crazy calls.
Really?
Oh my gosh. You can't imagine the crap that we go to.
Like that right there, I was just like, man, trying to explain myself through that, I would look like such a moron.
That would have been all right. That would have been an easy explanation.
But like,
that bird feeder was staring at me.
Oh, man. You
know, peeping in my window. I don't like that.
I've moved it since then. I got rid of it because I was like, I don't want to even come close to doing something stupid like that again.
Oh, my God.
Cause it legit, it threw me for a loop, man. Oh man. The good times, man.
It's crazy what your mind does to you too.
Oh
like,
yeah.
When you're in a
like a fight or flight moment.
Yeah, when you're in a different situation, it'll play tricks on you.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. That's like sleep deprivation.
Right.
Sleep deprivation. I'm like, you'll hallucinate.
Yeah.
It's like, I remember. So this isn't exactly like a great story, but so like when we went to fly overseas,
yeah,
it was a 18-hour flight.
Oh my gosh.
So 18-hour flight from, you know, said location to said location. Now, when they did this, our medical personnel, they prescribed every single one of us Ambien.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I've never taken any type of sleep aid or anything like that. So I'm like, I don't know what to expect or do. Like, I'll do it. It was weird because I really didn't want to take it because I was like, I don't like putting, I take supplements. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'll take pre-workouts, whatever, supplements like that because
right.
I understand the controlled effect that they have. But like, when it comes to prescription drugs, I'm like super timid to them because like, I remember, what was it? When I broke my collarbone, it was either my collarbone or my arm. When I broke one of those, I got painkillers.
Yeah.
And I took them for like, or they gave me painkillers the day that I went in there to, you know, alleviate the pain. And then they sent me home with painkillers after I was all casted up and shit like that. I think it was my collar or no, it was my wrist. So after they set it and put me in a cast and everything like that. And they sent me home with painkillers and they made me just sicker than a dog.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't,
it's not worth that.
No, that was the thing. I was like, man, I can't do it. It's just making me sick. And like, from that point on, I was like, I probably will never take a prescription drug like that ever again because I do like, I just do not like feeling bad. Nobody does.
No.
But I was like, from that point on, I was like, with the Ambien, I was like, man, I do not, it's not my thing. I don't like doing stuff like that. And so
I can imagine that it's probably just hard to sleep on the.
Oh yeah, so well, because there's no seats. Like it was a like I had a Swiss lanyard to my belt hooked into the floor. Yeah, it was a cargo plane. Yeah. It's a C-17 cargo plane, okay. And so like you would literally, I had a lanyard that went from my rigger's belt to a D-ring on the floor, yeah. Snap in, lay down. And it's like steel. Yeah, you're laying on steel. And like a bunch of guys knew, a bunch of the other guys that we were flying in with, they knew what was going on because they had hammocks. And they take them from the cargo net to the side of the plane. They'd sleep in a freaking hammock the whole entire time. While like me, my bags are all packed away. I'm literally freezing. And I've got nothing but like my uniform and a backpack.
Oh my gosh.
And so, and a laptop to watch movies and stuff off of. But anyway, so I was there with my commander. I was like, because we only went in four guys, and my immediate group was just four of us. So, like, I had a captain with me, and me and him ended up getting pretty close. And so I, like, was on the plane by him, and he's like, okay, everybody, you're taking these Ambien because you're getting sleep before we get there. Because when we get boots on ground, we got a lot of stuff to cover and get done.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to get sleep on this plight. So you're going to take that. So we all sat there and he's like, but we're going to make a game of it before, you know, we're going to do this the way it's supposed to, but we're going to make a game of it. Everybody take their Ambien because it was Ambien. It's like, everybody take your one Ambien.
Yeah.
And then we're going to see who could stay up the longest.
Oh gosh.
And legit, I made it about 20 minutes, and I'm like, I swear to God, you could literally like start hallucinating, and then I was out. But I have never been more hungover in my life than I was, and like they prescribed it again to us coming back. I said, I don't care what anybody says. Like, we're through deployment. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going back to be under your command or anything like that, dude. Yeah, so I'm not taking nothing on the way back. I'll stay awake the whole entire flight, man. I will not do it again because it was just terrible.
It made you feel like crap.
Oh, man. It felt like a hatchet right down the center of the noggin, man. It was terrible. But, yeah. Man, that was a really long side rant.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, yeah, it's... I don't know. Yeah. That's... Yeah, we covered a lot of different things there. I just lost my train of thought, more or less. I guess that happens from time to time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it's, yeah, I don't know. One of those things, interesting police calls or almost doing dumb stuff and trying to explain your way out of that one. That would have been interesting for sure.
Yeah, I think you've been safe.
Yeah. I would have, it would have been really embarrassing for me, though.
Yeah, it would have been embarrassing, but. Not the first embarrassing thing you've done in your life, I'm sure.
Nope, probably won't be the last either. Probably will not be the last, man. But no, man. Well, with that being said, man, I appreciate you coming back on the show, man. We're going to do it again, too. We're going to do it again. We'll do it again for sure. Yeah. And yeah, man, we'll try and do it over some college football when that starts rolling back around. Hopefully it does. Hopefully that stuff gets rolling. Hopefully live sports come back real soon.
Right.
I miss it, man. I miss it. Yeah. But, yeah, thanks for coming on, Jason. No problem, I appreciate it. Thanks to all the listeners out there. Keep on listening. And appreciate you guys tuning in to Charlie Foxtrot Radio. If you haven't checked out our merchandising line, check out America Made Co. on Facebook. That's America, M-E-R-I-C-A. Made, M-A-D-E, Co, C-O. That's our Facebook page. We got all of our merchandise on there. Check it out. Give it a like. You can subscribe to that page, what have you. And we really appreciate everybody listening. Big shout out to Anchor for being a sponsor. Shout out to America Made Co. for being a sponsor. Shout out to Jason for coming back on the show. And appreciate everybody listening. Signing off.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Peace out!